Hello, friends. This is the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live today from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM. And I'm actually at the Galactic Wisdom Conference here in Olympia, Washington. The address is 9101 Stillicum Road here in beautiful Olympia, Washington. If you are in the area, please come down. Come on down and visit. Today's a free day. And we're right off of exit 111. At any rate, we had a whole bunch of wonderful psychics who were on the air for the first hour. And I'd like to start off this hour with my good friend Tom Palladino. He's a very famous scalar energy researcher from Florida. He's here now. And Tom, I'd love to have you say a few words. And then I would like to bring in Jane from the Triad Theater. Is Jane around here today? Oh, there you are. Okay. Why don't you come on first, Jane, and then I'll bring in Tom, because I wanted to introduce you to the crowd and say a few words, please. Jane has wonderful theater, and please introduce yourself to my audience.
Oh, thank you. Hey, y'all. This is Jane from the Triad Arts Theater in Yale, Washington, and I say to you all, get on down here to this incredible conference, because it is spectacular. You guys need to open your brains, you need to open your minds, your hearts, and this is the place to do it. It is free today. I can't believe it. This is a free day, so there's no excuse for you not to be here. It's a sunny day. Get your asses over here and come see this spectacular show. And it is amazing. I've been here for the last three that have been here in this community, and we need to support these kind of events. So come on down. Thank you.
Teddy's gone. Well, so Teddy's gone somewhere. So we'll have Tom.
Isn't Ted always gone?
Well, sometimes he goes, yeah, he's out of this world. So
he's out of this world, yeah, for a few minutes.
Right. So Tom, would you please come?
Hi, once again, welcome. My name is Tom Palladino. I'm from the state of Florida. This weekend, I'll be giving a lecture on scalar energy, how scalar energy is a technology that will serve to change the world. I work with scalar energy instruments, and I work with those instruments to improve, to abet human health. But there are thousands of applications with scalar energy. So this is a like-minded crowd, and I'm sure that we will explore how this new technology will be so meaningful in the future. Many of you have heard of Tesla's energy. Some people call it pyramid energy today, or orgone energy, or perhaps tachyon energy, torsion energy. All of those are synonymous with this new technology, scalar energy. It is not electricity. It is not a magnetism. One of the incredible characteristics of scalar energy, it does not experience entropy. It does not weaken. So this is an eternal energy, so to speak. This will solve our energy crisis. Scalar energy does not degrade. It does not lose its signal. So with that in mind, this weekend we will again explore these wonderments, if you will, of scalar energy. I'm happy to be here, and I promise you, once we share our thoughts this weekend, once we really delve into this, we will see how all of this will dovetail, how all of our work will essentially bring about a better tomorrow, how we are going to change this world for the better. I will go on record by saying that scalar energy will be one of those technologies that will change the course of human history. I mean that without any equivocation. Scalar energy is a game changer. We are going to change the course of human history. God bless you. Thank you for your attendance. I have one question.
Are you familiar with 5G?
5G, yeah.
Cell phone 5G,
4G. Upping the electromagnetic frequency to damage us more and more.
Yeah, the question is about cell phones in the audience. Let me go on record by saying I've never been a fan of electromagnetic energy, period. And go on. That's correct. Scalar energy someday will replace our technology today. Scalar energy will be used for telecommunications in the future, because scalar energy is not inimical to the human health, whereas electromagnetic energy has proven to be harmful to our health.
And 5G is 1,000, 100,000 times
We understand that our homes have smart meters. Yes, our cell phones can be dangerous to us. Yes. Again, electromagnetic energy is harmful to our health. Scalar energy is perfect energy. It cannot harm. That's the difference. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Sidney Kirkpatrick. I'm an author. Tomorrow I'll be giving a lecture on Edgar Cayce. And this is a subject which is very, very dear to my heart, and I nearly lost my career over it. I was a very mainstream author. I'd had 3 bestsellers, New York Times bestsellers, had been nominated for a Pulitzer. I won San Francisco History Book Award, and then I met Nancy, who was a dedicated Edgar Cayce follower since she was in high school. And boy, did we butt heads. We argued, we had this terrible tug of war, and I was saying, anybody who put their faith in a psychic ought to visit a psychiatrist. And I, you know, if I didn't respect her so much, but we just had this terrible, terrible tug of war over this subject, because I just dismissed it out of hand. And she gave me just enough rope to hang myself. And she introduced me to Edgar Cayce, literally kicking and screaming. And I went in to prove, to show her, to teach her, you know, the truth that there's fiction and there's nonfiction, and this business about Edgar Cayce has got to be fiction, and that the stories about him had been embellished over the years, and that if you really took a hard, long look at these so-called trance readings, they would unravel. And I spent the first 2 or 3 years trying to unravel them. And when I couldn't, it just, I went into a tailspin. And I lost a lot of friends, and I lost a lot of supporters. But it created a new life for me. And Nancy, who is now my wife, we've spent the last 2 decades studying Edgar Cayce. And so we bring a lot to the table, mostly because I was such a skeptic and she was such a diehard supporter that between the two of us, we were able to come together and sort of bring a new perspective on this very ancient old work. Thank you.
Sidney, I wanted to ask you, Edgar Cayce had some interesting predictions about the future of the planet. Would you like to talk about those?
No, this is the free lecture that you get that tomorrow when you come.
Okay, well that's true. Okay.
but Edgar Cayce did have a lot of interesting things to say about extraterrestrials.
Oh, okay.
Which hasn't been discussed.
Okay. And, yeah, well, you could say that.
And sojourns on other planets.
Cool. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Are you going to talk about that during your talk?
Yeah. Well, yes.
Good.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. But you get tomorrow you get a full dose of Cayce, because you not only get the first full length documentary movie, but you got the definitive biographer of Edgar Cayce to introduce it. Mm-hmm.
It starts later in the afternoon, around 2:30, I believe, under the new schedule. Yeah, because I'm giving Sidney an hour and a half to
pontificate.
Yeah. To pontificate, absolutely, absolutely. Well, one of the spirits that I've been in contact with, of course, is Nostradamus, and he's told me that the timelines have completely changed here on the planet. One of the things I heard from my psychic friends, a psychic friend of mine, a couple days ago, is that the time for the evolution, that we are definitely ascending into the higher spiritual realms. And at one time, Nostradamus was saying that this process where we're shifting into the higher dimensions would be completed by the year 2038. Then I got the message a couple of years ago that because so many people are making the right choices, that it's now 2028. Could we keep it a little bit lower, Todd? Todd, a little bit lower, please. Just the voice is a little bit lower. Thank you so much, my friend. And then I heard just a couple days ago from some psychic friends of mine that the time frame now has accelerated to the year 2025. So we have accelerated by 13 years in the last 5 or so years. So things are speeding up in a much more positive way. This recent meeting now between President Trump and North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un, I wish him well. I hope they can achieve peace. Actually, during the recent Olympic Games, both North and South Korean Olympic teams competed together as one country, as one unit for the Games. That's a tremendous achievement in world peace. And I hope, I wish them well, I hope that they can achieve peace in this world. The last thing we need is another nuclear war on this planet, because I think most people on this planet want to live in peace and harmony. And this is something, of course, that Dr. Emoto talked about, didn't he, Michiko? He talked about the 80-10-10 principle. Could you tell people about that, please?
Okay, everywhere in the world of bacteria, there's always 10% good and 10% negative, and 80% is in between. And what happens is if this 10% of being good bacteria is just a little bit more than 10%, then all these 80% will flip to this 10% good bacteria. That means the majority will be good, so the world of bacteria will be a positive and good the world. And what happens to this human society is it's the same. It's just the difference of the size. It's like the internal, our body is the small universe, is what we say. And what is happening in our body is what is happening in the world also. What is happening in the world is what is happening in the universe too. So if we try to reach just a little bit of 10% of this whole population of the world, and we all become loving gratitude and live in harmony and service to other people with kind heart, good words, being good, nice to each other, then this 80% of the whole population will come to our 10%, and then the whole world will be a peaceful and harmonious place instantaneously. And that's what Dr. Emoto said, and that's why we're trying to distribute this children's book of the message from water to teach that to and hoping to reach to 10% of the whole world. That was 650 million books at the time when Dr. Emoto announced at the United Nations in headquarters office in New York in 2005. Now we have more population, but still 650 million books is kind of huge amount. So we're still trying to stick to it so that we can accomplish this number and distribute to everyone, including downloading the data. And the important thing is for children and all people to learn about this. That's what Dr. Emoto said.
Well, and I want to thank you, too.
Thank you!
for carrying on his work, because many people, of course, were saddened when he passed away on October 17, 2014. Now, you have a shipment of books from Japan. Do you need help with the funding for that? Yeah. Michiko, could you talk about that, please,
okay,
and how people can support you?
I have some supporters in Japan, and I do have many books printed in English and Spanish, Chinese, in other languages also. And I would like to ship those books from Japan to the United States to us, because we have established Emoto Peace Project America in Olympia here. And so from here, my hope is to reach and give one book to each public schools and libraries in the United States. And shipping costs of 1,000 books by ship from Tokyo to the United States is $500, and that's something that I'm asking everyone to donate so that we can send the books from Tokyo to here and to give to children for free of charge.
So, for example, if you had 500 people give $1 apiece, would that be enough money to ship the books here?
That's ideal. Yes, $1 a person in 500 people will make $500 in perfect amount.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, and could you give out a PayPal address or email where people could send a contribution?
Okay. It's Crystal, C-R-Y-T-A-L, Crystal, at hado.com. And that's the address to donate by PayPal. And we are now trying to open up the bank account of Emerald Peace Project America, and we will be able to do that within a couple of weeks. Then at that time, we will be ready to accept PayPal payment for this Emerald Peace Project America as well. Okay? But for now, Crystal, C-R-Y-T-A-L, at... C-R-Y-S-T-A-L, that's right, at Hado, hado.com. .com, yeah. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Chappelle. I just found out a few minutes ago that my good friend, Dr. Kyra Rocha from the Bahamas, is on its way here. He should be here any minute. He's a famous naturopathic doctor. And when he comes, and we'll put him right on the show. But in the meantime, I'd like to put my friend, is your name Carolyn, is that right?
The Space Cadet.
Okay, yeah, Carolyn. Carolyn, if you could come up, please, Carolyn White. And I know you, if you don't mind me asking, if you could bring in some great masters, like, could you bring in your friend Matthias, and maybe he'd like to say some words of wisdom to my audience.
Oh, thank you. First of all, I just want to show everybody this, and I wish this were television, but I'll kind of describe this to all of your listeners. After Mary worked on me, helped to realign my energy, I'll show this to everybody here in the audience. This is before. At 118, I did this, and my energy was a bit out of sort. I can see on the left-hand side there. This is an aura and chakra photo that, like, Jerry and I do, and we also interpret it. And then this is after Mary was working on me, and you can see how my chakra levels came up. The aura bubble around here is much more congruent. All my chakras are lined up. And this is the wonderful thing that I love about working with energy, because it's like Sydney said, he was a skeptic. And I've seen stuff all my life around people. And if I say to them, well, okay, I see that you've got yellow around you, but there's kind of a little, kind of a not too much color here. And they may look at you and go like, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. But this is it demonstrates that when you and I look at the same thing, that we have a common focus point. So it's just over the years, we've done a lot of before and afters. And I just love to show people how much energy work helps them. Massage therapy, you wouldn't believe the difference afterwards, what the aura looks like. When, like I said, Mary working on me here, I'll pass this around and so everybody can see it here, and disregard the, it says Ramona here. Jerry forgot to change my name on there when we did this quickly during the break. And it is just so amazing when Reiki work, working with vibration, the Hado machine, that it makes such a difference in the energy field. And if your energy is flowing and more congruent, then you're also going to achieve a state of homeostasis. You're going to be healthier. If you're healthier and you're living life free of some of the burdens of three-dimensional world, like pain and having to go to the doctor and get all these prescriptions and things, if you're living a life of that higher vibration, it also brings good health to you too. And so I just wanted to mention that and thank Mary again for the great energy and her wonderful, wonderful gifts that she has. And that's another thing too, is about sharing. And this is what Matthias has told me, that so many times that we need to be there to help one another. because, as I said last hour, it's not, somebody isn't going to come down and just go booga and we're all going to be saved or we're all going to ascend. It is a process. It is an ongoing daily process. And Matthias has always told me that people like in the three dimension like to put things in a box. We like to categorize things. And one of the things that he said is so important is that we need to really find our own inner being, our own inner strength, and learn to communicate with our higher self and our guides. With Matthias, and I call him my non-corporeal mentor, because he imparts a lot of wisdom to me, and he imparts a lot of, and I call him because the name just sounds very masculine. It's at that level, that density, that the beings there are really androgynous. They don't need to be male and female. What he's telling me is male and female really is a necessity for three-dimensional living. Our physical living, we need to have the yin and the yang, because without, in order to manifest, in other words, to manifest children, to manifest tables, to manifest anything, we need to have the yin and the yang, the male and the female. And what has gotten out of whack with this world is that we have not had that balance between the divine feminine and the divine masculine. It's been more of that masculine. And like water that ebbs and flows, is that we need that movement. We need to honor both the feminine and the masculine to have that balance. And once we have that balance, that is when, as individuals, we can raise our vibration and not only be in this 3D world, this three-dimensional world, but we can also communicate with the other dimensions. And I think that's, in essence, what Edgar Cayce did, is he was so balanced that he was able to transcend the three-dimensional world. So it's all about living, and when Matthias says, it's all about living a life of balance. It's all about living a life of love. And you'll hear this from me, you'll hear this from other people here, but one of the greatest energies is love. Love and also gratitude. Because when we are grateful, we are giving thanks. We are appreciating. We are showing kindness. So what I love to tell everybody, and I do it myself, is just at least once or twice a day, say something kind to somebody. Say, I love the way that you look in that outfit. Or you have such a wonderful smile. And even if you can't say it to them, just look at another person across the room and smile at them psychically and think, gee, that person has such great energy. Or gee, that person has a beautiful smile. So remember, and this is a message from Matthias, is to commit everyday random acts of kindness. Thank you, everybody.
Well, I think Professor Albert Einstein would certainly agree with that. He had written a letter many years ago to his daughter Listral. I've talked about this before. He called it the letter of love. And if he had to do it, if he had to create the atomic bomb all over again, he would have never created an atomic bomb. He would have instead created what's called a bomb of love. And I want to read a little bit about that now, if I could, because I think it's certainly appropriate to today's conference and help making this world a better place. This is quoted in my new book, Messages from the Masters, and he wrote. He wrote to his daughter back in 1955 before he passed away. When he proposed the theory of relativity, very few people understood me. And he said that there's an extremely powerful force that science has not found a formal explanation for. It's a force that includes and governs all others, and that universal force is love. He said when scientists look for a unified theory of the universe, they forgot this force. Love is light, he writes, that enlightens those who give it and receive it. Love is gravity because it makes some people feel attracted to others. Love is power because it multiplies the best we have and allows humanity not to be extinguished in our selfishness. For love we live and die, God is love and love is God. And this force explains everything and gives meaning to life. It's the variable that we have ignored for too long. And I know that this is what Dr. Moto talked about too, isn't it, Michiko? And the most beautiful crystals, Michiko, could you tell my listening audience what the most beautiful crystals of all he ever found was what?
Was love and gratitude.
Okay. And if I may, there's an experiment he did, I believe in 1999, where he took a bottle of radioactive water from a nuclear reactor in Japan, and he put the love and gratitude water crystals on this bottle and wrote love and gratitude. What happened to the radiation after 42 hours?
Well, Dr. Emoto left the word love and gratitude in the water crystal of love and gratitude on the bottle of that polluted water by radiation for 48 hours. He tested it before and after. And then after 48 hours, that water created the beautiful crystal. So love and gratitude. Dr. Emoto always said love and gratitude is the immunity also. It heals everything.
Beautiful. So this is the work of the Emoto Peace Project. When Dr. Emoto started it in May of 2005 before the United Nations, what did he tell the world in his speech?
In his speech?
Yeah, he said that he was going to give every child around the planet the book.
I just said that.
Okay.
I just said it.
Okay.
Yeah, 5 minutes ago.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, I just explained. But, he said that he was going to give this children's book, The Message from Water, to 650 million children all around the world. So we have this book translated into 33 languages now, and we are trying to distribute these books in 33 languages to all the different countries around the world. And to distribute for children to learn about this book, the wonderful thing is that parents read it for the kids, or adults read the books for the kids. They also learn about this love and gratitude, and that water absorbs whatever we say, the words and thoughts, and whatever we see and hear. So all these people in that family, they try to use beautiful words, kind words, try to be nice to each other, and try to say nice words to plants and animals. So the family starts to become very kind to each other, loving each other, saying thank you to each other. And that way, the children grow up to be really good children. So that's what he said before or at the time of 2005 at the United Nations.
Wonderful. What did...
When
Dr. Emoto made this speech at the United Nations promising 650 million copies for all the world's children, what was the reaction of your office to that? What did they say when we heard that?
Well, we were surprised because we never heard that. All of a sudden he announced it. We all said, how can we do that? I mean, this is such a small private sector, and we don't have that budget. And then Dr. Emoto said, well, I said it, and it's going to come true. Don't worry. So he passed away in 2017, giving me the torch. 14. And then I'm carrying on that torch and the message and walking around the world as Dr. Emoto used to do. Okay?
All right.
Thanks, you, Mickey Chikow. I'd like to recognize someone else in the audience. Scott, could you please come up? Yeah, Scott Mowry, could you come up, please? Way back there. Yeah, Scott's an interesting, fascinating fellow. I'm so glad he's here today. He has his almost on a weekly basis. He gives presentations down in Yelm at Jane's Triad Theater about what's going on in the world. So I'm so happy Scott's here. And Scott, in 22 words or less, could you love to give you some, if you could give us all some wisdom about what's going on in the world.
Good evening, afternoon. My name is Scott Mowry. 22 words, Ted. Is that all I get?
All right, 25. Go ahead.
All right, thanks. All right, so my name is Scott Mowry. I appear at the Triad Theater on a weekly basis, and I'll be there this coming Wednesday, March 14th. I'll have some exciting news to share with you guys this week about North Korea. And it appears we have achieved peace with North Korea. And this has not been reported. You won't hear about this, but this is coming from very high-level sources that are revealing this now. And so we are now seeing the world change dramatically. And North Korea and South Korea are working on reunification right now. So many, many exciting things to talk about. I will be covering a lot of this information coming up soon. So thank you, Ted, for inviting me. And it's a pleasure to be here at your conference. Thank you so much.
Scott, don't go away. Could you give us a few more tidbits about what kinds of things are they... I mean, I know that North and South Korea had an Olympic team together, which I thought was fantastic. Oh. Now we're getting a few news stories in our media, which is highly controlled, but sometimes they do report a few things. And they said that there was this meeting now between President Trump and Kim Jong-un. Will they work out the deals beforehand and then announce it to the world?
Yes. The peace treaty was apparently, it's not official, was arranged in November in the Forbidden City of China, while President Trump was over there visiting China during his visit this past fall. And apparently this is where the peace treaty was negotiated. This is being revealed by high-level military sources known as Q. It's a Q team, which I talk about a lot about during my presentation. So yes, you're hearing now after the fact, because apparently this peace treaty has already been arranged, and North Korea is going to now go through a process of denuclearization.
Well, that's pretty amazing. So they're going to get rid of their nuclear bombs.
What the Q team is now revealing to us is that the next plan or the next country will be Iran after North Korea. So this will all happen here by November, and on November 11th, I want everyone to write this date down on their calendar. There's going to be a huge celebration in America. There's going to be a gigantic military parade through Washington, D.C., and many things are going to be changing for the better, and there's going to be some huge, huge changes announced coming in November.
Wow. Well, that's wonderful. That's that's when I'm born, my birth month, so always a good time for good news.
All right. Well, thank you, Ted, for having me. And a question?
Yes. So does that mean that Korea is giving up the deep state opposite?
The deep state has
Could
been
you
cut
repeat
off.
The question?
Yes. Okay. The question is, does that mean North Korea is relinquishing the deep state? Yes. The deep state has been defeated in North Korea, according to this high-level military source. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, this is why many things are happening, why you're sort of not hearing about North Korea in the news. I guess so many high-level negotiations have been going on, and they are waiting until after the Olympics for this all to happen.
Mm-hmm. When did the Olympics end?
The Olympics, I believe, ended last weekend, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
yes. Okay. So you noticed that the North Koreans showed up at the Olympics, right? That's because they've already negotiated a treaty. So again, this is unofficial. This has just now been leaking out as of yesterday. So I'll get into more detail as more of this is revealed. And during my presentation on Wednesday, I'll have a lot to talk about this. But this is extremely exciting and a great news for the entire world. So I hope you all would agree with that one.
Thank you so much, Scott, for saying that. You know, in my book last year, Messages from the Masters, I wrote that we had a beautiful, bright future ahead of us, and all this talk about a third world war with North Korea, although we have we've had problems with them, is nonsense. I didn't see us. My spirit guides on the other side said that they didn't see us going into World War III, that the timelines had actually changed, and this confirms it now. And once this happens, wouldn't it be lovely to live in a world where there's no war? I mean, people may call me an idealist, but with rose-colored glasses, but it'd be lovely, wouldn't it, to live in a war in a world where there's no war, there's no conflict, where actually people live in peace and harmony? I truly believe, and I've always thought this since college, that the true nature of people is to be kind, benevolent, loving, and sweet. And all these wars we've had were simply false flag events, gerrymandered and concocted by a relatively few group of people who wanted the war to make money off of it through profits. The United States, for example, spends 57% of its gross domestic product on the military industrial complex. Canada, in comparison, for my beautiful friends up in Canada, they only spend 9% of their GDP on the military. And so they have that much more money to spend on health, education, people's good services for people. And that's why, for example, in Canada, I think one reason why the crime rate's half of the United States, double the standard of living, far better educational and healthcare systems than we have in the United States. I mean, we get by here, but we could be doing so much better if we just had our priorities a little bit straighter. I wanted to ask Carolyn and Mary. Mary, why don't you come up a little bit and channel some of your guides as well, because she's very talented as well. And I'd love your words of wisdom from your guides today.
I'd like to share with you what I say when I'm standing in line at the Safeway. I usually look around at what other people are buying that they're going to bring home and eat, and I always say, "You're not going to eat that, are you?" So when we were talking a moment ago about cell phone energy, I just wanted to show you a little something. I'm hoping you guys can see this. Can everybody sort of see my cell phone right here? Okay, so when you look at the cell phone, I'll just show my pendulum here. How good is this cell phone for me? Not very good. Not very good for my energy. Okay, so when I put this pendant up that I wear all the time, in fact, I wear all my buddy's stuff. So down here in my bra, I got a quartz crystal. And then over here on this side, I got this thing from Todd Rolson. It's an energy disc, and I use this to take the stuff out of people's bodies, and I just put it right here in the bank, right? So, and around my neck, I wear this from Jeffrey Ozanon, Wizard Ozanon, who's going to be here tomorrow with all of his interesting stuff. So if you put my little disc, which is particular to me because I can't wear anything around my neck, probably because I was beheaded before, probably for my mouth. Anyway, so put this over the top of my cell phone. And then look at my pendulum. Is this bad juju negated? Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. So there's a lot of people who have stuff like this, that beautiful man over there in the plaid coat. There's a lot of people around here that can. And you know what else can stop it? My thoughts. So between my beautiful 20 guides and me, they tell me what my thoughts ought to be for the day. And they've told me this, well, I guess it was last year, they said, please sit in the energy of us every night and please write our words. So I sit down and I tune in. And I asked my guides, could you give me a symbol? Those are my new guides that come in. So now I have 20. So symbols might be a color, maybe a triangle, like a little symbol. It could be anything. And so new guides come in all the time. And if they're compatible with my energy and everybody else says that's okie dokie, I allow them to come in. Because, you know, they can't do their work without us. We can't do our work without them. It's a collaboration. And so when Mr. Tesla showed up for me, it actually happened when I was working with that beautiful man over there, Dr. Todd. He came in to tell me something about Dr. Todd because they work together all the time. And then son of a gun, if he didn't show up for me later. And he calls me my love. So evidently he and I used to be special to one another. Of course, not last time, because, you know, Mr. Can I say asexual on the, I think I can. So last time, you know, he didn't have a love last time. So I think it was because he had me a few lifetimes. He didn't need anybody after that. He told me I could say that joke. So
Anyway, I just love to see all you beautiful faces out here. And if you need something, just ask your guides because they're willing to provide it. My goodness, it's 2018. It's time for us to heal. You guys step into that. We're going to rock it. And I am the rock and roll psychic. So you guys come and see me if you want. I love y'all.
Thank you. Thank you so much, everyone. That was Mary Beckman. I also have recognized some wonderful people. Judy, why don't you come on up real quick? Judy's what's called sacred geometry, and she understands it much better than I do. So, Judy, tell everyone a little bit what you do.
Hi. Thank you, Ted. My name is Judy Chapman, and I do sacred geometry and art. And what started me on this whole path was I just wanted to know about symbols. I wanted to know what their meaning was, and sacred geometry seemed like the most logical place to begin that journey. And, of course, as you're getting into sacred geometry and winding your way through that whole mysterious, so much knowledge is out there. It's a rabbit hole you can dive down and never find the bottom of. But it's really the language of the universe. It's a language that we have lost the ability to speak with, the knowledge that we have lost that used to be taught certainly in the initiate schools. And so I wanted to know that. I wanted to know those secrets. Started off doing that, and as I was coloring my geometrical constructions and learning the knowledge with my background in art, it was only natural that it would become art for me next. And so I express it through art, I embellish it through art, sometimes I turn it into kind of mandalas and expressions of myself. I've started to add more organic things to my constructions, so now you're seeing flowers and butterflies and birds, all kinds of things in nature, because everything in nature is expressing in sacred geometry, in particular the golden mean. So if you have any questions, fell down that crop circle rabbit hole. I've got a slideshow presentation going on. That became my test. So I would look at crop circles and say, can I deconstruct this baby? How was it made? What are the underlying geometries that are going on here? Can I tear this thing apart? Can I find out their secrets? And so I've got a lot of crop circles over there in my booth. And, of course, looking forward to the new season. In between all of that, I've been doing the more organic sacred geometry. And I'd love to dialogue with you at whatever level you're at. I'm always still learning. Thank you.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
Yeah. I have a question for you, Judy. What about the Tree of Life? What is its significance and how did it evolve?
Okay, the Tree of Life isn't something that I have gotten to in particular, but you can find the Tree of Life very simply showing up in either the Seed of Life, which is the first six circles around one, and or the Flower of Life. All of that lines up beautifully. If you've looked at anything that Nassim Harameen is doing out there, this is something that he stared at and wanted to understand, and it went holographic for him and started moving one day. And he began to understand where the Tree of Life came from geometrically, and from that, the vector equilibrium and all kinds of amazing things that came out of that, that also ties in with Buckminster Fuller and how torsion fields and toroids and things like that occur. As far as tearing the Tree of Life apart and all the different particulars about it, that isn't something that I've studied.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, Judy.
Thank you.
I also have a wonderful... wonderful lady here. Her name is Grace Starr. She has a fantastic collection of crystals and rocks, and her prices are always very reasonable, very loving, giving person. Grace, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Ted. This is about my fourth fair here. It was the first time I walked in somewhere, and I went, oh, my God, they're telling the truth. And it was the things that I've heard here have opened my mind. It's unbelievable, the things they talk about. This is such a beautiful opportunity. There are so many guides here with everyone. It's such a place of light and learning and progressive changes for the Earth. Thank you. I have now been to the Hollow Earth myself. This is the first place I ever even heard of it. I think it's the only place I've heard of it. But it's there, and it's all there to be discovered. It's new dimensions, it's new energies, it's new healing. I work with stones. I'm Grace Starr. My website is stonewhisperings.com, and I have that on Facebook also. I work with the energies of stones. I think people are starving for the connection back to the earth now. That's one of the interests behind stones. This man-made world does not meet our needs. It doesn't feed our spirits. And stones are one avenue people have found to go back to something that's meaningful to them. You have an overall energy from the sum of your atoms. Stones have an energy from the sum of theirs. And it's the affinity between the two of you that are how stones are your friends, how they can act on certain parts of your body or help you move in certain directions that you want. You can ask them for help. They'll give it to you. The same of, that is true with almost anything in your life. And I teach people about how they can use their own energies to relate to stones, how to pick stones with your own intuition. And I am so delighted to be here with Ted. I love this conference. I look forward to more light and learning. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Grace. Thank you so much. Grace, what's your website so people can find you?
StoneWhisperingsPlural.com.
And with that, my good friend, Dr. Kyra Rocha, just flew in. He's from the Bahamas, one of the best naturopathic doctors I consider in the entire world, and I want to thank you so much for being here. You're on air right now. Cairo, thank you so much.
It's quite a responsibility. Hello, everyone. I'm so, so happy to be here for a number of reasons. It's the first time I've ever been here in this part of the United States, and it's such a nice feeling about it. It's such a wonderful energy here, and I know why by looking at all of you.
Do you like our traffic?
Oh, well, it's quite interesting. Quite interesting. Yeah. It's moving.
It's moving. When I first, I've seen your lectures before, Cairo, and you have these fascinating lectures where you demonstrate different Buddhist healing techniques with your hands, and also you used to run an acupuncture school in Brazil, didn't you?
Yes, it's a long journey. But I, at some point in life, I went to Japan. I spent 4 years in Japan when I did my training. I started an acupuncture. And after Japan, of course, there was some Chinese. I got interested in Qigong and later on in Tibetan medicine. So it's basically, those are the, I would say, tools. You know, it's just the idea that you're always learning something new. There's no such thing as I know everything. And I always, in the morning when I get up and I go to my office, I always say, what is it I'm going to learn today? And quite often, my patients are my best teachers. Mm-hmm. I learn so much.
That's wonderful. Well, one of the things I was really impressed with last year when you gave a presentation in the Dominican Republic at the Peace and Light Conference was how, like vegetables, like tomatoes, for example, tomatoes are very good for your heart, but if you cut a tomato in half, it looks like a heart, two valves of a heart.
Oh, yeah. This is, it's called Doctrine of Signatures. It's a medieval thing. It's medieval knowledge. That was kind of discarded as being, you know, not reliable. But if you look carefully, let's look carefully. Look at, I don't know if you've seen a ginseng root. It looks just like human being.
A little louder.
Yeah, looks just like human being. And that's what it's good for. It's good for the whole body, for everybody. Mm-hmm. Also, if you slice a carrot sideways, you see that there is a round, there's something in the middle, looks just like the eyes, with the iris and all the rays.
Wow.
And guess what? It's good for the eyes. Have you ever seen a rabbit wearing glasses? So that shows, huh?
Yeah, that's
but
true.
But there are so many, it's basically this idea that the way the plant manifests itself, or the fruits, the way they manifest in the nature holds the key as to what they're good for. So that's how our ancestors began to study plants and to understand what they're good for, by just observing the way they are.
Wow, that's incredible. What about bananas? Of course, we all know what bananas look like. What part of the body is the bananas good for?
This is one thing here. When you look at banana, check yourself. When you look at a banana, doesn't it give you a nice feeling? You never look at the banana feeling sad. I mean, at least me. Every time I look at the banana, either it's the color, it's, you know, yellow, it makes you happy. And there's a tremendous impact on your tummy, on your digestive system, according to Chinese medicine. So because of the color and the way it inspires us. Mm-hmm. So it's very good for our digestive system.
Now, as a psychic, I know that the color green signifies healing. And so would that be the same with things like broccoli, lettuce, peas, for example, green peas?
Yes. One thing to consider that, if you look at green, what is it green? isn't it a combination of yellow and blue, right? Mm-hmm. Therefore, it's a balance. Blue in Chinese medicine is yin, and yellow, yang. Mm. So if you mix yang and yin, you get balance. So therefore, it's not by chance that God, the creator, created all this beautiful forest. Mm. And green is so inspiring to us. Mm-hmm. So green is a result of a balance.
Wow. Yeah? Fascinating. We've got a few minutes left, but I wanted to ask you, are there any other vegetables you'd like to share your wisdom about?
There is one that I really, really love. I was talking to Dana a moment ago. It's chamomile. Some people say chamomile or chamomile. In my understanding, it's one of the most healing plants and herbs we have. If you look at the chamomile in nature, just yellow, tiny little flowers, you don't think much of it, but it's a wonderful therapy, it's a wonderful herb, especially for children. Anything to do with children, any problem with children, emotional, physical, chamomile to the rescue.
Wow, wonderful.
And it's good for us as well.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Kyra will be giving a presentation here at my conference this weekend. And if you are in the area, please come down and see him because he's fabulous. And I know you'll be very happy to have him here. It took a little while for him to get here from the airport, but welcome. Thank you so much, Kyra. So good to have you here. And I want to thank Dana Swift for bringing him here. And also, she's a fantastic healer. Dana, could you come to the podium? We've got a few minutes left. Dana, please introduce yourself.
Hi, Ted. I'm Dana Swift. Okay. I'm an energy healer.
Okay. Okay. Great. And she's very good at it, too. She was healing people before the conference even started. And what's your phone number and email? Maybe a website where you could give people up to contact you for healing?
Okay. Well, I don't have a site up. But I do have an email. It's dswifthealing@gmail.com.
Okay, and your phone number? If you want to get, okay, D Swift Healing. I don't mean to put you on the spot. I'm so used to giving mine out all the time. But she's an excellent healer. I can attest to that. She gave me a healing earlier, and she's very, very good. So this whole conference is filled with healers, and I want to thank everyone so much for being here today. We've come far and wide from many different places, from the Atlantic to the far reaches of Asia and the Pacific. And I know I have many listeners listening all over the world today. We've got a few minutes left, and I wanted to let you know that I appreciate you so much for all your support for Out of This World Radio. It's a nonprofit radio program, my television program, and its purpose is to raise consciousness and make this planet a better place. So if you're interested in learning about healing techniques from all different kinds of perspectives, from the spiritual, from the physical, from Tom Palladino, a famous energy healer, to Shuichiro Yoshinuchi and Michiko Hayashi from the Emoto Peace Project in Tokyo, Japan, who flew here 10,000 miles to give their presentations, as well as Sidney Kirkpatrick, very famous author, accomplished author in his own right, with the Edgar Cayce Foundation, who's probably one of the most famous healers in American history. Carolyn White, Mary Beckman. And then we've had a whole bunch of vendors here selling all kinds of incredible things. So I hope you can all come this weekend. And with that, what I'd like to do is to go ahead and play the Charlie Cardinal's Thank You Water song here at the end. Eric, if we could play that, that's all right. I always think that the basic human nature of people is to be kind, benevolent, loving, and sweet. And I don't think we like conflict and war. And Scott Mowry's announcement earlier that a peace treaty has already been signed with North Korea sounds so good. Because nobody, I don't think, who wants to blow up this world anyway? It's a beautiful planet, and most people are benevolent, loving, and kind. And that's the kind of world that I think we should create. So with that, I hope everyone around the world has a beautiful and happy weekend. And thank you again so much for listening and supporting Out of This World Radio. Thank you.
Our actions, thoughts, and words are in energy. One day we heard Dr. Dr. Emoto say. To help us understand this, it is water. And now I hope to show you the way. He discovered ice, water, crystal.